I want to preach tonight, if God will be my help, on all or nothing. If you have your Bible, turn with us to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. All or nothing. I want you to be thinking on that while we're looking for up the Scripture. Revelation chapter 3. Now, we preached through this a while back. I believe it was in November of 2009. We preached through the churches. Amen. The seven churches. But I want to look at this tonight in a little different aspect. I want to look at the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church in verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. If you have your place, stand with us in honor of the reading of God's Word. You pray much tonight because God, the old devil don't want me to preach this. Amen. But praise God, I ain't listening to the devil. I quit doing that a long time ago. Devil never did give me no help. Devil never had to give me no comfort. Amen. All the devil ever done, youngins, got me in trouble. Amen. Took me somewhere I didn't need to go and kept me there longer than I wanted to stay. But I want to say tonight, my Lord and my Savior not only saved my soul, but He's taken me somewhere that's a promise. Amen. I've got it on the assurance of God that I've got a better place and a better day ahead. Amen. Thank the Lord. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." For just a little while tonight, I want to think on this thought, all or nothing. All or nothing. Now, what are you asking, Pastor? I'm saying, well, that's what Jesus wants from us. That's what Jesus wants from you. All or nothing. What Jesus wants tonight, He wants sincere, honest, intent hearts. Amen. Or nothing at all. That's what Jesus wants. He's the master of our life. He is our great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd of our lives. If He's not the chief shepherd of your life tonight, then you're not living for Jesus. Amen. And He's not pleased with that. He wants all or nothing. Now we see here in the Word of God, He says that He's writing to the church of the Laodiceans. He's writing to the messenger or the pastor there, the minister there. And He's writing these words. And he says, "These things saith Amen. And the faithful and true witness." Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of God, and God the Father of glory. Amen. That's who we have to know that it's true. The Bible says in the voice and the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Word to be established. God give us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost the precious Word of God. We have it on the assurance of God tonight that this is a holy right. Amen. We have it in the assurance of God tonight it is God's holy Word. Amen. We can take that to the bank. Amen. But as we look at this tonight and we look at the Laodiceans and the Laodicean church. Now the Bible says that the Laodicean church was neither cold nor hot. But I want to look at something first before we look into that. Then in verse 15, the first part of that verse, He says, "I know." Now this is in red writing. It's the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "I know thy works." What He's saying tonight is, "I know where you're at." He said, "You're not cold and you're not hot." Now we can see this tonight as the master pulls up to the 11. Let me just give you a little illustration. We can see the master tonight as he pulls up to the table, and the servants are serving him. Now we're servants of the Lord, and we're supposed to have that the Lord is pleased with and the Lord desires. As he pulls up to the table tonight, we bring him out the cold meats, and he tastes the cold meats and he sees that they're good. Amen. He tastes those cold meats that we put before him, and he says that they're pleasing. And then we bring him out the oven, hot bread, fresh out of the oven, Brother Kevin. And we put it before the master, and he tastes that hot bread. And as he tastes those good meats and that hot bread, and he says they're good. But then we bring the tepid waters, the tepid drinks, and we put before him. And we bring the half-baked cakes, and we put before him. And he looks at them, he tastes them, and he pushes them away in distaste. He says, "I don't like these. They're not pleasing unto me." You see, they're not cold, and they're not hot. And he said, "They're not pleasing to me. They're not fit for a king." Amen. Amen. I believe tonight a lot of times we bring forth fruit that's not fit for the master. Amen. As I looked at this and I got to thinking about, I wasn't thinking about you, church. I was thinking about me. I was thinking about me and where I stand with God. I was thinking about my daily life and my walk. And I got to thinking about this as well. I can just imagine the Lord looking at me, beat the bill, and He said, I know thy works. He says, I know what you're doing, Brother Bill. Amen. Amen. He says, I know your works, Amanda. I know what you're doing. I know where you're living. I know the way you act. I know the way you talk. I know your relationships. I know your conduct. Said, I know your works. I know how they are. And he said, in your works, they're neither cold nor hot. Amen. They're neither cold nor hot. He said, you haven't just sold out to me. You haven't done everything that you do to be pleasing to me. You say, well, he kind of sounds kind of selfish. The Bible says he's a jealous God. Amen. He's a jealous God. And because he's jealous, hey, could you imagine a God of glory that's jealous over me and you? Loves us so much that he's jealous over us? Well, that ought to send a quiver through your liver. Amen. That ought to be enough to excite you. But when he looks down at you between Beak and Bill, Brother Jeff, and says, I know your works. I know where you live. I know how you're living, how you're talking, how you're walking, how you're reacting. Amen. I know all about you. He said, you're not cold and you're not hot. He said, you're lukewarm. He said, if you was cold, he said, I could revive you. He said, I could lift you up and I could encourage you. And he said, if you was hot, if you was on fire for me, he said, I could bless you and encourage you and exhort you. But he said, you're not cold and you're not hot. I don't know what I can do for you. Amen. I know your works. I know what you're doing. How are we going to get by that? I know your works. He knows your work. He knows my work. He knows where we're at. He knows where we're living. I would to God we could get a hold of that. Every day of our life, every person we come in contact with, praise God, the Lord knows how we treat them. Miss Burge, when they come through the Kmart line, praise God, He knows every person that you come in contact with. Down at the workplace where you work, the good Lord knows every person that you come and probably send some of them that way of purpose. Bible says we've entertained angels unawares. Wonder how many's come through your line. Wonder how many of God's chosen have walked through your line and just to see if you'd give them a kind word. See if they was down, if you'd give them a little encouragement. He said, I know how you are. He said, you're not hot and you're not cold. He said, oh, if you was cold in mourning. He said, if you was cold in mourning, that coldness. He said, I could give you some heat. He said, I know where the thermostat's at. He said, I could turn up the heat if you're just cold and realize it. I wonder how many is cold and indifferent toward. I wonder how many of your Christian life, I wonder how many of our Christian life that we're as excited about the Lord as we was the day we got saved. The night you remember the night you got saved? Are you still just as excited as you was that night? Are you as excited as Jake is? He wants to call his daddy and say, Daddy, I got saved, praise God. I led prayer, praise the Lord. I got excited in Jesus, glory to God. Why? Because he was excited. He's hot, he's on fire for God. He realizes that God saved him from that awful pit that we talked about Sunday. And he delivered him. In some glorious land that's just beyond the vision of this world. Amen. But he said, if you was cold, he said, I could give you that heat. But in other words, what he said, if you were serving him with the best of your ability, if you was doing that, but that was the very best of your ability to do, then God could bless you. God could help you. But no, he said, we're not doing that. He said, they are neither cold nor hot. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. Amen. He said, I would that you, if you're cold and indifferent, he said, just admit it. He said, just come clean. He said, just come say, Lord, I'm just cold and indifferent. Amen. I don't like it being here no more. I want to be on fire for God. I want to have the burning desire in my heart to see souls saved. Amen. Praise God. Had to something be stirred down inside me. But he said, gins are caught up in this lukewarm stuff. And he said, that lukewarm, he said, I'll spew it out of my mouth. He said, it makes me sick. He said, I just want to vomit it up. Amen. That's what God thinks about lukewarmness. That's what he thinks about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He don't like lukewarm Christians. Amen. He wants, if you're cold and indifferent, praise God. He said, just admit you're cold and indifferent. He said, just, you say, well, preacher, I don't have a burden for the lost. I don't even really want to come to church. You know, last week we preached on how to have revival. You remember over there in Acts chapter 2, it said, you're just waiting, meditating upon the Lord, looking for the spiritual things, God desiring them with an earnest heart. Amen. I pray, God, that we could get back to that point again. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival in a few weeks. I know we are, because the devil's been fighting me too hard. I mean, he's fought me on this ever since I've announced it. I mean, he's fought me tooth and nail. He don't want us to have it because he knows what's going to happen. He knows somebody like Brother Dean's going to walk down this aisle, follow an old-fashioned altar, cry out to God and be born again, birthed into the family of God. And the devil don't want that. Praise be to God, I don't care what the devil wants. We're going to have Holy Ghost revival. Amen. Because we're going to get over this lukewarmness. And we're going to get on fire for God. Amen. Well, you say, well, preacher, I don't really know if I can. You can if you cry out to the Lord. If you just admit, like the rest of us, that we're just cold and indifferent. And we need the fire of God one more time, the power of God in our lives. Amen. We need that fire burning down in our souls. The church of the living God, the things of God is the most important thing in our lives. That it comes before, even before family and friends and work and everything else, that God comes first. Amen. He comes first. Now my family, they isolate me. My church comes first. God comes first. Amen. They don't understand that. But that's just the way it is. Praise God, I love every one of them. I do. I thank God for my family. And praise God, I'm there every time. If they need me, all they got to do is just call and they know I'm there. Amen. If I know they got a need, I'm there. But praise God, I'm not going to give up church. I'm not going to give up my church family. I'm not going to quit on God to go to do things on Sunday evening. Praise God, it takes me away from God's people. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to compromise. Praise the Lord, I love my Lord too much. And I love my church too much. Amen. Because he said when you begin to be lukewarm. He said, so then, verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm. He said, but you're just lukewarm. You ain't cold and you ain't hot. You're kind of straddling the fence. I wonder how many of us tonight straddling the fence. I mean, if you'd be honest with me tonight, I'd bet over half of us tonight raise our hand and say, I'm straddling the fence. Amen? Say, I'm not sold out for God. I'm not going 100% for God. I let things of this world take precedence over the things of God. Amen? Means you're lukewarm. Amen? Means we're lukewarm. He said, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know what lukewarm makes you? Lukewarm makes us just almost on the verge of apostasy. You remember over there where he talked about the Jew and he said, hey, listen, he said, if it were possible. Let me read that to you. If I can find it right quickly. Over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is, chapter 6. No, 6, chapter 4. Or chapter 6, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. It said, For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves as the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. He said, hey, listen. He said, they've come right. He said, for if it For it is impossible. To what? It's impossible if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance. If those that's come right to the verge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, that's partake of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's come right to the, I believe a lot of folks has come right to the point of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing His name, believing on Him and everything, but just come right to the point of salvation, but turned her off of it and then said, hey, listen, I know what the Bible says. I know who Jesus is. I know what He wants to do for me, but I'm not going the Jesus way. Bible says that's apostasy. Amen. He said, we're right on the verge of apostasy if we ain't very careful. Amen. We're right on the verge of something, somewhere where we don't want to go. If we've got the enlightenment, we know who He is, but we refuse to do what He says. That's apostasy. But we don't want to go there. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That kind of brings everything right home, don't it? Kind of points to the day and hour we're living in. So they'll be traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Who does that? Apostates. Amen? People that come to the knowledge of the Lord, but they say, hey, I know who you are, I know what you want me to do, but I'm not going to do it. Having a form of godliness. I mean, they get up and they go to church and maybe they get up and sing a song and dress right nice and smell pretty, but they don't belong to Jesus. Why do they not belong to you? He said they're having a form of godliness. But listen to this. But denying the power thereof. And he says, from such turn away. He said, don't get involved. Don't get caught up with those kind of people. Because they'll draw you away too. Amen? They've got a lukewarmness. They know who Jesus is. But they not accept Him as Lord and Savior. They've not made Him their Redeemer and their Lord. They're not looking for His soon appearing. Amen? Are you looking for Jesus to come at any minute? Any day? Do you know today could be the day that He comes? Amen? And if He don't come today, praise God, I'm going to look for Him to come tomorrow. Amen? He said, from this sort, turn away. He said, but He said, what they're doing, they're denying the very power thereof. The power of God that they have through the Word of God and through the teaching of God. So, well, preacher, where do you get all that? Look over at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse... Well, let's just start at verse 1. He said, I charge thee therefore before God. Now, he's talking to the young Timothy. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now, listen to this. Preach the Word. Now, this is a charge to young Timothy. He says, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Teachings, instruction from the Word of God. He says, it's not about your opinions, St. Timothy. It's about what God says. Amen? Now, look at verse 3. He's talking about apostasy. An apostate state. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Kind of like the day that we're living in. People don't want you to tell them what sin is. They don't want you to tell them what sin is. They don't want you to know how God's going to deal with sin. They just want you to pet them and tell you how pretty they look and how good they are. Amen? That's what we want them to, that's what we want somebody to tell. We want petting and calming and curing and just tell us and pacify us and tell us how wonderful we are. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So just tell me what I want to hear. Amen. Just tickle my ear with it. Just tickle my ear, make me feel warm and fuzzy, and let me go on home. Amen? And I'll see you again next Sunday morning for about 45 minutes. That's all the time I have in a week. Amen? To get give me all you can there in about 45 minutes and make me feel good about myself so I can go on about my business. He said, but that's their own lust shall they heap upon themselves, teachers having itching ears. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from truth and shall be turned unto fables. Just tell me fairy tales. Talk about politics. All right, talk about politics. Talk about the things of the world. Talk about the basketball game. Relate everything to this old world. Tell us about how the world is and how we can fit in and how we can fit and how we can just compromise a little here and there and how we can fit in and blend in and we won't stand out in the crowd and we'll feel all good and nice about ourselves and when the end of the day comes and that trumpet sounds, we'll just fly off into glory. Just tell us all the good things, preacher. Amen. That's what I do. I'm glad God called me. Praise the Lord, to tell you the good things. Amen. The gospel of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The doctrines of the Word of God so that we can know that sin is sin and He's a holy God that hates sin. Amen. But He's a sin-killing God. Hey, glory be to God. When you get Him on your side, He comes in the depths of your heart. Brother Bill, He takes up His abode down in your soul. I pray the Lord said, hey, I would that you weren't cold or you weren't hot or you weren't lukewarm. But praise God, I want you on fire for me. He said, just admit you're cold and indifferent. He said, I'll turn you into a fire flame. Praise God, that ablaze abroad this land and you touch souls and life and make changes and differences everywhere you go. That folks can see the power of God on you and they can see the power of God in you. Amen. That they might know the truth and the truth could set them free. As a fellow told me this week, he said, I never heard of talk to this fellow. He said, I seen you on TV. I just act like I didn't know. I said, what you talking about, brother? He said, I seen you on TV. I said, you did? I said, where at? He said, you was uptown at that thing. I said, oh, yeah. He said, you was praying. I said, I was. He said, yeah. I said, you was praying uptown. I said, yes, sir. So I was praying uptown. Amen. Glory to God. That town needs to be prayed for. Amen. Glory be to God. The devil's trying to take our city. The devil's trying to take our county. Amen. The devil's trying to infiltrate us only from the inside out. Amen. He'd like to take our churches. Amen. He's well on the way to taking some. Glory be to God because we've opened the door and let him in. Amen. Because we're cold and indifferent. We say, well, it don't really matter. I want to say for our young'un's sake, it matters. I want to say for home's sake, it matters. Amen. It's truth that'll set us free. It's truth that'll give us that we need. Why the world's a spinning fables and old wives' tales. Praise God, they steal some truth in the Word of God that we can build upon. They steal some truth, Brother Kevin, that we can build our homes upon. Amen. They steal some truth that comes from the Word of God. That'll be manifest to our heart. That'll lift us up and encourage us in the days ahead. Praise the Lord. But he said we got to turn to the truth and turn away from the world. He said we can't compromise. He said what's happening in the world? So they've compromised too much. Praise God. He said, we can't compromise. He said that God says, Lord saying here, I'm sick of lukewarm religion. He said, lukewarm religion's making me sick. He said, I don't want it. He said, I want all or nothing. Amen? All or nothing. You can't be pleasing to God unless you give him all. In 1 Kings chapter 18:21, I was leading the other day, and it says this. He says, if the Lord be God, follow Him. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. If the Lord be God, follow Him. Now, He's talking to the nation of Israel. He said, but if Baal, then follow him. God said, you make a decision. I'm going to leave it up to you. If I'm God, He said, if the Lord be God, He said, follow me. He said, if you don't want me to be your God, He said, then go ahead and follow Baal. What was He saying? He said, I'm tired of you being lukewarm and wishy-washy. He said, either follow me or just go ahead and follow Baal. I believe God got to have more respect for somebody if they just kicked out and said, well, I'm not going to try to profess myself to be a child of God and live like the devil. Amen? But the only way you can be a child of God is get to God's house and desire God, the help of the Lord. And the Lord will begin to feed you. The Lord will begin to encourage you. He'll begin to give you that you need, that truth that you need to grow spiritually in the Lord. Because God ain't kidding. Amen? And when we snub our nose at Him and say, well, Lord, we know what You say, but we're not going to do it. We're making a mockery of God. But God's no, it's no mockery, what we're talking about here. It's no mockery, but it's a true God that we're representing, being true to Him. Amen? We don't want to mock Him. We don't want to make fun of Him. Who He is? He is Almighty God. Amen. And it's up to us. We have to choose to be true to Him. It's not a game. And if we're going to be true to Him, we've got to be thoroughly true to Him. Amen. In other words, put our soul into our religion. Amen. Give ourselves wholly unto Him. Kind of like eternity depends upon it. Amen. We have to give ourselves thoroughly to the Lord. Now, you young people, listen, you've got an opportunity that maybe some of us other folks missed. You have an opportunity to right now to dedicate yourself to the Lord and say, I'm going to live and try to be pleasing to Jesus all my life from now on. And you've got a young start. Some of us didn't start. So I got saved early, but I didn't start serving the Lord till I was way up in my 20s. Amen? You have an opportunity now because I didn't know no better. Nobody told me. That man, once you got saved, the Lord would change you. He would make you. He would show you the way He wants you to go and help you to walk that way. But you know that the Lord loves you. Then He's got a plan for you. And He'll help you to walk in a way that's pleasing to Him. Amen? If we'll just trust Him, that plan He has for you, if we'll just thoroughly give ourselves to Him. Amen? But in order to do that, it's like it says over in Luke chapter 14, when he's talking about counting the cost. He said, if you're going to decide to do something, he said, you need to count the cost. He said, we need to evaluate ourselves and see what we got to do to make this journey and to make it one that's pleasing to a holy God. Sometimes we need to step back and count the cost. You know, what do we need to do within ourselves to make this a fruitful journey for the Lord? Amen? And then the Lord will begin to do that for us that we can't do for ourselves. He'll begin to help us and He'll begin to show us the right directions to go. And He'll lead us in that path. But it's all or nothing. The Lord wants all of us. That's what Jesus wants. In Luke chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God just a little bit now and down then. With your heart. No. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. Amen. The Lord said Himself, He said, you got to love God with everything in you. You know what's wrong with us today, church? We don't love the Lord with everything in us. Every fiber of our being isn't dedicated to Him. We're holding something back. We're holding back. We're keeping back the best parts that the Lord wants, which is ourself, our soul, our bodies, our minds, our strength, all that stuff. It belongs to Him anyway. So let's just give it to Him. Amen? He said, it's all His. He said, you got to love Him. How do you know you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love? If you love the Lord, raise your hand. You love the Lord. Okay. Litmus test. Do you love Him with all your heart? That's how you love the Lord. With all your soul. You've committed your soul to Him. Amen? That means you've been saved and received Him and you're living for Him. You've committed your heart, you've committed your soul, you've committed your strength. Everything that you're able to do, you say, Lord, I know I'm not able to do nothing within myself, but Lord, you give me the strength to get up, to move, and to have my being. Every day, Lord, I'm not doing this within myself. If it wasn't for you, I'd be laying somewhere as a paraplegic in a bed somewhere. But Lord, I realize that you are the Holy God. And I just committed myself all to you. Amen? Have you done that? Have we done that? All of our strength and with all of our mind. All of your intellect. Everything that you think, everything that comes through your mind. Have you give that to the Lord? You know, I believe that's Bible-believing, fundamental, independent Bible-believing people. I believe that's one of our biggest problems. We haven't committed our mind to the Lord. We're still, you say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we're still trying to think for ourselves. Amen? We're still trying to think for ourselves when we ought to be thinking towards God. Letting God help us to do the thinking. Let God help us. If God could help us do the thinking, then God could help us to do the speaking. And God could help us in the living in the heart. And God could help to change us and mold us, make us into what He wants us to be. But if we got to be committed to Him. Jesus told the church of Laodicea, He said, you're in a bad state. He said, you're not hot and you're not cold. He said, you're not cold and you're not hot. He said, you're lukewarm. And He said, lukewarm makes me sick. I mean, I don't get mad at me. That's what God said. The Lord said it. He said, it makes me sick. He said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. He said, if you're cold, then come and admit it and get help and get heated. Let me heat you up. And He said, if you're hot, He said, just get on fire for the Lord. And He said, let me bless you and help you and encourage you and just lead you on the way. Hey, guess what? You're a winner either way. Amen? But if we just admit that we're lukewarm, we're not where we need to be, we're kind of cold and indifferent, or maybe we're hot. Maybe we're hot. Maybe we just need to let the Lord just fill us and bless us. Say, Lord, I just want to be on fire for You. I want to be a burning kindle for You, an ember for You. And just let the Lord burn in us. But do you love Him tonight enough to commit yourself to Him? Not to be lukewarm, not to be a lukewarm church member, but to be on fire for the Lord. Jesus told the Laodicean church, He said, it's all or nothing. He said, is it your choice? What will it be? All or nothing. You going to commit yourself to Me? Going to serve Me, love Me, and let Me love and help you? Or are you just going to try to keep on going your own? It's up to you. But I tell you what, youngins, if you truly want Holy Ghost revival down in your soul, we just have to commit to the Lord. Say, Lord, here I am. I've been saved. I've been born again. Lord, I know I have. But Lord, I don't want to be lukewarm. Lord, I want to be on fire for You. You know what happened if we got on fire for the Lord tonight? If we just sold out for God, got on fire for the Lord tonight. Now, we made a commitment for the Lord for 30 days. Amen. How many of you have been doing something a little different for the last week or so? Amen. Praise the Lord. Taking a little more time for the Lord, leaving the TV off a little more. Amen. Praying a little more, reading the Bible a little more. Amen. It's paying off. Hey, it's paying off. We done seen one get in. Glory to God. Amen. And we ain't in, well, what, just a little past the first week? Lord's already saved, birthed one into the family of God. Amen. Don't tell him, what do you do by the 30th day? But if you totally want a revival of God, if you want to be set on fire to the Lord, amen, we just got to commit Him. We got to commit to Him. Say, Lord, I don't want to be lukewarm, but I want to be on fire for You. Could you imagine what happened to this little church in the next 3 weeks? in the next 3 weeks before we start revival, if we committed ourselves to the Lord and God, and every one of us just said, Lord, I just want to be on fire for you. Lord, I want you to kindle a fire in me that everywhere I go, I'll just burn so bright that somebody's got to notice. You know what happened? By the time it come time for us to have revival on September the 19th, this little old church will be full of people, amen, weeping their way to Jesus. Amen. Before we ever start to have revival. You say, preacher, could that really happen? That can happen. That will happen if we just get on fire for God. But we can't be lukewarm. We've got to be on fire for the Lord.